Susie Hodges sat down with our resident Vatican expert, Joan Lewis, to look ahead at some of the highlights of Pope Benedict's U.S. trip, beginning with his first stop, Washington, D.C.
Interestingly enough, President Bush and Mrs. Bush will be at the airport to greet him.
Yes,
and
I saw that.
That is rather unusual for the U.S. protocol. So that is a very wonderful sign already, perhaps, of the direction that the entire trip will take. And as you said, there's a lot of different events. There's a lot of different audiences. If you look at the whole trip, the Holy Father is really going to be speaking to three audiences. He's in the States because he answered an invitation to speak at the United Nations. So he will be doing that, and he set the tone and time of the trip to coincide with the 200th anniversary of the founding of, I think it's four archdioceses in America. Now, he will not visit all four. However,
which was hoped at one point that he would go to.
Yes, indeed. Like, and maybe adding a few more days to the trip might have done it, but because they're really all right there on the East Coast. And so that is the reason he's going to be in the United States again. And then he added the Catholic Church's events to that trip. Obviously, he's not going to go just to the U.S. to give a speech. He's going to also see and meet the Catholic Church in America. But basically, the Pope's going to have three audiences. He's going to have the Catholics at these events that we said. He's going to have masses. He's going to meet with the religious. He's going to meet with Catholic educators and seminarians and so forth. So he's going to his audience, the Catholic Church. Then you have another audience of America, if you will, when he meets with and speaks to President Bush, and you have those words, he will be speaking to Americans as a people. And then his third audience will be, of course, the United Nations, so the entire world.
Indeed.
And you can kind of just guess, obviously, what topics he's going to touch upon. I think within the framework, obviously, of human dignity and of freedom, of human rights.
I think it'll be a very wide-ranging speech, very much like his speech to the diplomats at the beginning of the year.
And it's a speech in which you're going to certainly want to listen to every single word he says, and don't even underestimate one word with Pope Benedict. He speaks very clearly. His words are well chosen, and they certainly will be at the UN.
Awesome.
This year marks the 60th anniversary of the Declaration of Human Rights. It actually occurs in the anniversary in December of 2008. So you can imagine human rights might be the primary focus of his speech to the UN. But he will be very busy. But, you know, we must remember the day after he arrives, he turns 81.
And, in fact, that's going to happen when he's going to be formally welcomed at the White House.
At the White House.
By the president and his wife.
So, of course, we're all out there guessing, you know, about the cake, the White House baker.
Happy birthday.
A cake in the shape
I'm sure they'll be singing.
Sure, but a very, very good friend of mine in Washington, an Italian, has a wonderful restaurant. Very Tony, very in. And he is catering Pope Benedict's birthday dinner at the Nuncheter. So my friend Franco is very, very excited about that. I have people asking me all the time, what is Pope Benedict like? Because they don't feel like they know him. And hopefully this trip obviously will showcase the wonderful personality of this great man.
But they're very, I mean, I gather that the masses, for instance, all the tickets are oversubscribed, you know. So there's obviously a
stadium,
lot of people clamoring
right.
to see him.
You could have four masses a day in these 65,000 plus stadiums or however big they are. The ticket request has been huge to all events, but especially the Mass. And unfortunately, what you have here, why are they being held in a stadium and not in a park?
The security concern.
The security concern, obviously.
This is overrides, September 11th.
Yeah, sure. Overrides everything else. It is, as tough as it is, it will be easier to maintain security in a stadium than it would be to maintain it on the Washington Mall, where the Pope could gather easily a million people. You know, mentioned the request of tickets, and there's many non-Catholic Catholics that want to see the Pope, too. Now, all of the dioceses have been given, throughout the United States, have been given a certain number of tickets. Maybe it's less probable that somebody from California would come than maybe someplace else.
The visit to Ground Zero, I think that's going to be something that's going to be very keenly followed, isn't it?
My understanding about that moment is that, and we'll see if this changes, they're going to allow the Holy Father to visit without any speeches or anything
else. It's going to be in silence.
There will be TV, radio commentators will obviously be saying, here's what the Pope's doing right now. But my understanding, it's going to be just, you know, homage to those who died and a moment of great, great silence. But a lot of interesting studies have been done, and it's really amazing and wonderful how many of the American people, not just Catholics, have a wonderful, favorable opinion of Pope Benedict, and they are very excited about his coming.
I gather that a poll has been commissioned in the run-up to this trip, and it has some fairly interesting findings, doesn't it, Jen?
You know, it really does. It was commissioned by the Knights of Columbus, and the results are that Americans in general, remember, Catholics are 25% of the populace, but Americans in general have an overwhelmingly positive view of Pope Benedict XVI on the eve of his visit to the U.S. And this was a poll commissioned by it's the Marist poll commissioned by the Knights of Columbus. But by a ratio of 4.5 to 1, so 58% to 13, respondents said they had a favorable or very favorable view of Pope Benedict. And the poll also found that an even higher percentage, 65%, have a favorable view of the Catholic Church, which is obviously very important, given the attention, certainly, that the secular media has even given to the negative stories of, from the Church, the scandals, and for so many years, this negative image of Cardinal Ratzinger, now Pope Benedict. And so a lot of the negative images that have been put out there apparently have been overcome if you look at that percentage that are favorable to the Church.
Indeed. Does it say about what the faithful in America want to hear from the Pope during this visit?
Yes. 70% or more want to hear Pope Benedict talk about the following things. Allowing God to be a part of their daily lives. That's 73%. Finding spiritual fulfillment by sharing their time and talent. 71%. And how they can make a positive difference in the world, in their state, in their local communities. Now, nearly two-thirds expressed an interest in hearing Pope Benedict talk about how they can have a society where spiritual values play a role. If you look at, this is 70% of Americans, but Catholics are only 25%. So you've got a lot of other people out there that are excited to hear this spiritual leader, because that's what he is. He's this huge voice of moral authority, this huge spiritual leader. Even if you're not in the Catholic Church, you do uphold a lot of the same values that he is preaching all the time. So,
but the Catholic percentage of the U.S. population is going up. I mean, it is changing. It's becoming much more Hispanic, isn't it?
Oh, indeed. It is. And certainly along the borders of those states that are right next to Mexico. So you've got New Mexico, California, Arizona, Texas, right on the border there with the Rio Grande River, and on the other side is Mexico. You have a huge population coming in, and whole families. So you have an immigrant worker, but in many, many instances, they bring their whole family. They become very much involved within the community, including the Catholic community. So yes, indeed, the face of the Church is indeed changing, and I think we still remain at 25% of the Catholics, not just Christians, but I mean Catholics. We're an overwhelmingly Christian nation, of course, but Catholics are 25% of the total, and growing. No, I must say, one thing that Pope Benedict has always mentioned, and he did recently in a speech welcoming Marianne Glendon as the U.S. ambassador to the Vatican, has always indicated that he knows very well, because he's been to America before, but not as Pope. He knows very well the joyful enthusiasm of American Catholics, that they are a church attending, whether or not, I think that might have gone down in recent years, but
they're much more religious than Europe.
We still have a very high rate of church attendance on Sundays and feast days, and I'm not sure about daily mass, but a very positive body of Catholics in the United States, and he knows that. There's a lot of positive notes.
Indeed. Is there an expectation that the Pope was going to raise some of the perhaps more sensitive points, you know, things like a gay marriage or things like that?
He perhaps in his talk to bishops, to the church leaders, that could indeed come up. And the question is, how do you, you know, not interfere with a state? It's the state who's going to make or break a law in this regard. So how do we still remain Catholic Church, promote these values, and yet not interfere? Because there's a very huge separation, as you know, between church and state in America.
And, of course, we're in election year, so it's going to be even more sensitive.
Exactly. And I know the Pope knows that. And he realizes that whatever he says as a teacher, as Holy Father, as head of the Catholic Church, will be taken by some to be, quote unquote, interference within the political system. If he does talk about same-sex marriages or something, somebody will say, well, he's advising Catholics on how to vote. The church advises Catholics on how to vote only in this way, by saying, you know the magisterium, you know the values we support. This is what you should bear in mind when you elect lawmakers, without specifying a person's name or a party or something. So I think another issue that the Pope, that is a sensitive one, that the Pope is going to bring up when he talks to Catholic educators is the Catholic nature, I stress the word Catholic, of institutions that call themselves Catholic. There are many out there whose theology, if not totally errant, has strayed from stressing the magisterium. A few colleges that have allowed questionable practices, questionable plays to come on their campus and so forth. I do think he's going to try and stress that if you call yourself a Catholic institution, know full well what that word means and what you are supposed to represent. If parents send their kids to this school because they believe it's firmly a Catholic school, they can't have their kids coming home without faith. They have to have them coming home after 4 years with a greater faith, grounded in very firm magisterium principles.
Our resident Vatican expert, Joan Lewis, there speaking to Susie Hodges. We look forward to hearing all about the Pope's U.S. trip direct from Joan herself. She'll be joining us again in studio in just a couple of weeks from now.